And it seems that since July, we've had to deal with more and more of these kinds of tragedies. And it makes you shake your head and wonder. And looking at the social media sites, and I saw one person about my age comment to another person about my age and simply said, "This is not the same world you and I grew up in." Indeed, it is not. Another interesting thing about all of this is everything comes to us so instantaneously and so quickly. And in fact, when they caught suspect number two, the first thing they did was they tweeted the news. So it went out on Twitter before it went out on anywhere else. But let's stay in that comment. This is not the same world you and I grew up in. Simply, to take us where we should always go, regardless of the events of our world, to God and to the Scriptures. What's happening in our gospel reading? Jesus is walking in Solomon's portico during the Feast of Dedication, also known as Hanukkah. That's correct. The Jews celebrate Hanukkah to remember the dedication of the temple in 165 BC. During the Maccabean Revolt. Basically, Judas Maccabeus and his sons took the temple back, took Jerusalem back from Antiochus Epiphanes, interesting name, who was a successor to Alexander the Great. So these were the Greeks who were ruling. And Antiochus actually went into the temple itself and insisted on sacrificing pigs on the high altar, which is the highest form of blasphemy. So the Maccabees took the temple back. And the reason Hanukkah is celebrated with lights is because the sanctuary lamp stayed lit for 8 days when there was only enough oil for one. And so there is the miracle of Hanukkah. This is an important detail because the Pharisees are asking Jesus a very important question. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not? And their minds are going back to the Maccabean Revolt. Their minds are going back to when the Jews conquered the Gentile rulers. And behind their question is, are you going to do the same? Will you get rid of the pagans like our forebears? And there were many groups that vied for the minds of the people in these days. Three of them were the Zealots, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. The Zealots' idea, of course, was to kill the Romans. Force the hand of God. Take the wickedness away. And of course, when they live by the sword, they also die by the sword and were often crushed by the Romans. And there are stories throughout history during this era of thousands of zealots hanging on crosses so that everyone who could see what happened when you opposed Rome? You died. This is the kind of mindset, though, the Zealots, that says when there is evil in the world, you must destroy it. You must eliminate it. You must kill it. Then there was the Pharisees. Now, they sympathized, of course, with the Zealots. But they believed that they could avoid the evils of Rome by tightening up the law and by further identifying themselves as Jews over and against the Romans. To separate from the Romans and the Gentiles and the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And they expected everyone else to do the same. However, they tightened it so much that these laws became burdens, not only to the people, but also to them. Not even they could maintain the strictness of the code. Separation and self-flagellation can only take you so far. It may keep you from the evil without, but it cannot keep you from the evil within. The Sadducees. Now, their strategy was political. If the temple was standing, the people would do sacrifice and keep the mirage of power they had with Herod's imposing temple, which took 100 years to build. And it was bigger and it was better than Solomon's. So compromise with Herod, compromise with the Romans, do whatever you can to stay in power. However, politics also cannot deal with evil. Just because you are in power, or you want to be in power, or you're fighting to be in power, doesn't mean you can change the evils of the world. Before kingdoms change, men and women must change. Well, Jesus has a different strategy, a different kind of kingdom altogether. He says that he is the good shepherd, that his sheep know him, and that he and the Father are one. Well, what does a shepherd do? He watches. In 1 Peter it says, "By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." That word that he used, guardian, is the word episkopos. I hope that sounds familiar to you. The shepherd and bishop, guardian, watcher of our souls. The risen Lord is someone who watches us, who helps us in our weakness, who guards us, who comforts us, who keeps us where we should be, who finds us when we are lost, and he is a shepherd who shows us the way. Now, it is human nature to want retaliation whenever we are wronged. We want there to be justice for wrongdoing, and this is a natural desire. But the way of the good shepherd is different. Listen to 1 Peter again. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. There is a certain kind of risk when we walk this path, when we live as Christians. Stanley Harawas says, "The role of the church is to cultivate a people who can risk being peaceful in a violent world, risk being kind in a competitive society, risk being faithful in an age of cynicism, risk being gentle among those who admire the tough, risk love when it may not be returned, because we have confidence that in Christ we have been reborn into a new reality." Now Jesus says, as the good shepherd, he and the Father are one. Now if you keep reading the passage, those who are around him did what? They picked up stones to stone him, because they got the gist of what he was saying there. Now, not only is he saying, "Yes, I am one with the Father, in essence," as theologians would say, the second person of the Trinity, but also one in intention and purpose. Jesus' intentions are the Father's intentions, and vice versa. Now, God's intention for this world is to remake it, to transform it from a world of violence and random acts of evil to the place that Isaiah describes. And listen to the words of Isaiah. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is the intent of God. N.T. Wright said, the early Christians believed that God was going to do for the whole cosmos what he had done for Jesus at Easter. The purpose of God is to redeem and transform all things. This is the purpose of the Good Shepherd. I did a chaplaincy in Austin, Texas, for my clinical pastoral education. And I did it at the state hospital. Texas is a big place. And if you go to the state hospital in Texas, there are some serious issues. And I saw lots of serious issues. Well, one of our tasks was to put a Sunday service together for a variety of folks, for a variety of the wards. So we did one for the geriatric ward. And so we got all the old-timers together and into the chapel and did our thing, and we picked He's Got the Whole World in His Hands as one of the songs. So we're singing the song, He's Got the Whole World. And then this old lady gets up and she says, He's got a job! And that is true. He's got a job. There's a lot of wrongs to be made right. There's a lot of terrible things to be put in order. But the Good Shepherd, as Christians, we believe the Good Shepherd will do these things. This is our Easter hope. As Gregory MacDonald says, God's love will indeed triumph in the end. It will undermine over time every possible motive for disobedience. And it will repair all the harm that we have done to ourselves as well as to others. For however horrendous some temporary tragedies may be, the simple truth is that all shall be well in the end. God became one of us so that He would restore us and the whole world. In the words of Chris Rice in his song, Welcome to Our World, so wrap your injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sins and make us holy. Perfect Son of God, welcome to our world. That was not the same world that you and I grew up in. But God's intention in Christ is it for it to be His world and His world only. Amen.